Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
They want to hit a Thanksgiving song. All right.
Aww.
This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it.
Good old Adam Sandler. Nice selection, producer Ben.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Oh, I love you. Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat. So good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyways. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap.
Ah, Adam Sandler, wow. I wonder if he still performs that song. He has to play it sometimes. What a great tune. Welcome back to Overnight America. Too much there. Way too much. All right, we do this thing called Tell Me Something Good. Do you have something good you'd like to share?
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell Me Something Good.
314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We always like to hear the good things that have happened in your life, something you'd like to share, something uplifting. And David calling in. David, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from El Dorado, Arkansas.
Arkansas, all right. So we do this thing to tell me something good. What good has happened to you?
Well, First off, I'm going to tell you something. I listen to the program most all the time, but the last time I called in was when Jim White was on the program, and that's been over 20 years ago.
Whoa, 20 years. So you've been listening a long time.
Let me tell you, I love KMOX. I love everything that y'all do. I just can't find anything wrong with it.
Oh, wonderful. But, all the way down in Arkansas.
Yeah, you come in real good. I have two things to state. One of them is I'm sure that you've heard that a lot of people are familiar with the name of Chico, California.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I have a longtime friend who lives there. And she texted me, and she said, I'm standing on the back porch of my house. I can see the fire coming up over the ridge. She said, it looks like we're going to have to evacuate.
Wow.
We're packed. So she put in capital letters, pray.
Mm-hmm.
So I called up two or three other people that I put a lot of faith in their prayers, and I said a little prayer for her, too. I called back, and she said somehow the wind changed, and the fire started going towards the opposite direction from where her house is. It came within 9 blocks of her house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I would like to tell everybody out there to remember everybody out there and their thoughts. She has 41 coworkers at the place where she works, who are totally burned out and have nothing.
Oh, wow. And you hear a lot of those stories, and people, the stories that break your heart, you hear they're don't even know all the victims yet, and they're saying there's a good chance a lot of them won't even be able to be identified. It's just terrible.
That's right. The other thing is I have another longtime friend who lives in Seattle, Washington, and he called me at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, boy, this better be good.
Late call.
And he called me, and he wanted to let me know that he had been admitted to the hospital. They found him passed out in his apartment. His kidneys had totally shut down, totally.
Well, has he had kidney failure in the past, or is that just a new development?
Oh, it just happened. I mean, nothing like that before. He's got a smorgasbord of ailments, but never that one. So they ran some tests and everything, and they gave him dialysis for like 3 days. And he told me today that the doctor come in his room, and he told me, he said, for all practical purposes, I should be here talking to you. He said, you should be dead.
Wow.
He said, you're one of the few people that have pulled out or something like that. And he's going to get to go home for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Does he need a kidney transplant?
No, apparently not. They're thinking that possibly... Some tests that he had where they put the dye in. He said there's a particular test that he takes quite frequently where they put the dye in the veins.
Yeah.
And they think that possibly the kidneys may have had an allergic reaction to that.
Oh, wow. And then shut down. Man.
He's not on any dialysis or anything now. His kidneys are perfectly functioning on their own, and all of his bodily functions are back in order. And so it was real funny. He said he was saying a prayer when they took him into the emergency room, and he was saying it audibly. He said he was kind of going in and out of consciousness.
Well, sure.
And he said one of the ER nurses looked at him. He said, "What are you doing?"
Kidney problems are no joke. There's so many people that I know that have kidney issues and have in the past, and it's just terrible. It just tears you apart, and it's amazing that there's so many people out there waiting for kidney transplants, and it's also amazing that there's so many people that have gone undiagnosed over these years, that they don't get any of their vitals checked, they don't get any checkups at the doctor, and there's so many things that could have been preventative. And then you hear a story like your friend that just nothing he could have done. He's not a doctor. He doesn't know what these medications were going to do, and then it just is thrown on top of him.
And I emote with him very much because, about 20-some-odd years ago.
About the last time you called this program.
Yeah, really. the doctor put me in the hospital, and they ran some tests, and he wanted to take out my left kidney. He said that for some reason it was about a fourth of the size that a normal kidney should be. He didn't know if it happened at birth or if I got hit hard playing basketball or whatever.
Okay.
So anyhow, here we go with the prayer thing again. And we prayed about it and everything. And as they were coming back in with the results of the tests, the doctor come in and he says, well, I can't explain this. I have no explanation for it. He says, but we're not going to take your kidney out. He says, your kidney has corrected itself. He said, now, it'll never be fully functional. He said, because your right kidney has increased the size that to take over the functions that the left kidney lacks accomplishing. And at that time, I had parents that was... very religious, and they were in the church every time the door was open. And my mother tried to explain to this new doctor, who I don't even know if the ink was still dry on his certificate or not. And he kind of looked at her, you know, and he had this kind of, you know, look in his eyes and everything. And so the people said, oh, well, he's new at it. Said, let him get a couple of years under his belt, and he'll come across a lot of other things that he can't explain.
I know.
So I just wanted to call in.
Love stories like that.
And give people out there hope. You know, that just because you've been given bad news does not mean that it's going to last and that the light at the end of the tunnel is another train. It can all turn around, and a lot of it begins with you, the person. You have to believe.
Wonderful story, David. Thank you for calling in. I'm so glad you called. Don't wait 20 years next time, okay?
Oh, and you have a good singing voice.
You don't have to patronize me. I know it's not good. I just do it. Maybe the processing on this radio station carries my shortcomings. Could be.
Well, whatever. All right. You guys up at KMOX, have a happy holiday, and I'm listening every night.
We will. Hey, thank you, David. Good to hear from you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
From El Dorado, Arkansas. Such a cool story. All right, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Prayer is very important. It's amazing how powerful it is. We'll get some of your calls here. I got a story about my kid praying. Maybe I'll share that coming up next, too. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Do we have the song Alice's Restaurant? Is that in the system? It's like a 15-minute song or something crazy like that. I'm just curious. I don't know if that's just a Detroit thing, but that was a tradition to air that song on Thanksgiving Day. You know that song, Alice's Restaurant? Is that a Thanksgiving thing everywhere, or was that just a Detroit thing? I don't know. I have a story about my kid in prayer, and thanks to Dave who called in right before the break, I'll share this story coming up. But I wanted to get to Phil, who's been holding on here in St. Louis. Hey, Phil, what's going on?
Hey, everything's okay. How are you tonight, Ryan?
Good, feeling good.
Oh, that's great. You probably may not remember my name as Phil. You might remember my voice, but I was the fellow who called in the day that Brett Kavanaugh testified and said that all of his dates were correct. And you gave me a couple of dates, and I told you what days of the week they were.
Oh yeah, you have a great memory. Unbelievable. I remember that.
Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you a story that is actually something that happened on Thanksgiving, and it's not really going to sound like something good to start off with, but hear me out. On Sunday, October 13th, 2013, I was on a hike with the church I was going to at the time with their youth group. It was at a place called Pickle Springs Park, a very rough trail right around Ironton, Missouri. In fact, someone told me, who was an ambulance attendant, that he took more people off that trail than he ever did going on it. But anyway, I was on the hike when I fell and broke my left ankle on both sides and dislocated it.
Ooh, okay.
And so had surgery, and then I had a cast with no weight bearing. And by Thanksgiving that year, which was November 28th, I had progressed to a cast with limited weight bearing. I was still using a walker, but I could use both legs, and that was a huge improvement, which was great. And Thanksgiving Day was going to be one of the first times I was going to get out for anything but to go to like a doctor's appointment or something like that. We were living in Union, Missouri at the time, and my in-laws lived not far from us, like less than 5 minutes away as far as a drive. Mm-hmm. And we were going to be going to their house for Thanksgiving dinner. Well, the day before Thanksgiving, my wife got very sick. Mm. And she was, she was, you know, flat on her back in bed, couldn't do anything. And I was, and of course, like I say, I mean, I was, my kids were home, so of course they had the TV on all day, or most of it, and stuff like that. So I'd listen to what they watched and stuff like that, you know, and wouldn't exactly been what I would have chosen. It was okay. But anyway, but we did have Thanksgiving dinner brought to us by my mother-in-law. It was a very good dinner and everything. And later that night, I talked to my dad. He called to wish us a happy Thanksgiving, and he said, "How was your Thanksgiving?" And I said, "Well, today honestly was the roughest Thanksgiving I have ever had, but I realized we sure have a lot to be thankful for."
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what did your dad say?
Well, he was sorry things had gone so rough, but I think, you know, he was happy and, you know, realized that, and agreed that, you know, yes, we did have a lot to be thankful for. And we certainly did, you know, and that sort of thing. And of course, we do today. So, you know, that's really great.
We don't always give thanks for the things in our life. We take a lot for granted, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All the time. Well, I'm glad you shared that. This is a time to be thankful. And if we're not being vocally thankful to the people around us, it's a good reminder that this is the time to do it.
Maybe absolutely. A little kick.
You know, Phil, I wanted to test you again. You're right. You do have this kind of freak memory knowledge. So basically, I can give you any date and you can tell me what day of the week it was?
Since 1752.
Okay. Are you ready? I'm going to throw a couple dates at you. Are you ready?
Okay.
September 5th, 1978.
September 5th, 1978 was a Tuesday. It was the day after Labor Day.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Okay. Let me come up with another one. Let's say 1927. Let's do June 8th, 1927.
It was a Wednesday.
Yes, that's correct. I don't know how you can do that. That is quite a trick.
Thank you. Well, I got a question for you because I remember the dates that you asked me about the last time. You asked me about January 9th, 1983, which was a Sunday, and then March 14th, 1988, which was a Monday. What exactly, did you just pull those dates out of a hat, or are those significant dates for you, or what?
No, they're random dates. It's hard to come up with a random date, really. I don't know why. It just really shouldn't be difficult, but it kind of is.
But it's also, and I guess maybe, of course, I know anymore, you can Google dates on the internet and that sort of thing. And that's one thing, because it used to be when I would say what date things were, people would say, well, we don't know if he's right or wrong. You know, well, nowadays you can look and you can find it out, you know, that sort of thing. So, I mean, that's easy to do. But yet, you know, you knew that I was right on all of those dates. And I was thinking, how does he know that? Was there some, because I know I asked you about the 1983 date, if that was the date you were born in here. I was really surprised to find out you said you were a millennial.
I am, yeah. I'm the late end of millennial. That was the year I was born, but it wasn't my birth date. It's just a random dates. I just very quickly tried to Google something to see if you're correct, and it just, that's how it works out sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, let's try one more. Can I give you like a holiday and you could tell me what the date was?
Sure.
Let's try Mother's Day 1966.
Oh, my goodness, and it's interesting you should mention that, and I'll tell you why. Well, of course, Mother's Day in 1966 was May 8th.
That's correct.
Yes, it was a Sunday, but that date is significant for a couple of reasons. Number one, here in the St. Louis area, and I didn't know this until years later, but the Cardinals played their very last game at the old Sportsman's Park against the Giants, and they won that day. But that's also the day I was baptized.
Oh, how about that? What a day. That's amazing. You can remember stuff like that, as in just any date in general with what happened on that day. That is remarkable.
Well, thank you.
All right, Phil. Hey, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
You too, and you all, and you and all the rest of the listeners have a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you.
God bless you.
Well, that's awesome. Man, the guy's got quite a memory. I don't know how he does it. There's some trick, I'm sure, but man, he's good at it. You know, there's a quick prayer story. I might as well mention this, because our friend down in Arkansas who called in, because of all the power that happens between that. I don't know how this happens, but I know why it happens. It's because, you know, God moves. So we were doing a prayer before the meal, and I try to get my kid to say the prayer. I'll say, hey, do you want to say prayer? And he's pretty, you know, I don't know, maybe 20% of the time he'll do it, and he has a long prayer. Like, he'll go and on and on and on, and it's awesome to hear. And I have a smile on my face the whole time. Just so proud of him. And this happened a couple of months back. And I asked him, do you want to say a prayer over the meal? And he said, yep. So he started praying and he said, and I'll pray for grandma's eyes. I was like, that's weird. Pray for grandma's eyes. And later we FaceTime and my mom, which is his grandma, said that she hurt her eye. Something happened where there was irritation there, and it was hurting. I said, how? Did you tell anyone? Did you tell someone over here? It's like, no, that just happened. Prayer. I don't know how it works, but it works. God listens, and I truly believe he didn't say that on accident. It's pretty remarkable, I think. All right. Got a couple of other things I wanted to get to this hour. There's a lot of people that are into YouTubers. I mean, like, a lot of people into YouTubers. Well, I got a couple that tell me something good stories, too. Maybe I'll share some of those with you. But high school kids are at the point where they want to skip college in order to try to make it big on the internet. That's not a great career path, but it's very tempting. I'll tell you why coming up. Overnight America, KMOX. There it is, Alice's Restaurant. All right. Bum, 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 bum. Arlo Guthrie. They always played this song on Thanksgiving in Detroit. Without fail, this was the song. It didn't feel like Thanksgiving until it was played. I don't know why it's a Thanksgiving song, but I guess it starts of a real-life Thanksgiving event in the 60s, but...
This song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
Bum, bum,
you
bum.
Can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right.
I got to admit, I've never listened to this song outside of when it played on the radio on Thanksgiving when I'm sitting in my parents' home and it just so happens to pop on without fail.
Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby.
I can tell why I don't listen to it any other day besides Thanksgiving. It's an 18-minute song. Wow. Maybe if you need some time tomorrow with Brad Young, who's filling in, throw that in, about an 18-minute song. That could help him. So Brad Young will be in tomorrow night, and then Harry Hamm will be filling in for a very special Overnight America Thanksgiving night. And then on Sunday night, I believe it is Gary Nolan filling in. So the next few nights I'll be off. I'll be really enjoying Thanksgiving time. See, we get vacation time here, and I'm actually allowed to use it. I love being able to unwind and not have to worry about the radio station when I'm gone. Never really had that luxury until I came here. I was always burdened with having to take care of something all the time, 24/7. So I look forward to just getting off the grid for a while and just letting my mind reset without always trying to scan for news stories and things like that. So I'm going to take advantage of that. I have another vacation planned for Christmas, but I say mostly the vacation time towards the end. You know, radio station, it's weird the way the vacation is structured here. It's different than any other industry. If you're in the service industry, you know you're probably working holidays because they're very well in demand. People go out and, you know, if you're low on the totem pole, you're going to find yourself there, or if it's your turn or whatever it may be. Radio is similar because you can't have everyone off on the same day because we still need to broadcast here on KMOX. So what they do is they limit your holidays. We only actually have 3 paid holidays at the radio station here: Christmas, New Year's, and then one floating holiday, at least for the on-air talent, one floating holiday. And I decide that to be Thanksgiving. Then what they do is they make it up with extra vacation time. So we work a lot of the times that, you know, there's recognized national holidays, but then we get extra vacation time to take the way we want to use it. So it equals out in the end. It's just a little bit different. So I'm looking forward to using some of that here. I think I will. Christmas should be pretty fun. There was this one Tell Me Something Good story I wanted to mention. Not an NFL fan. I don't really watch NFL all that much. Patrick Mahomes, he's the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, doing really well this year. He might actually be able to break the single season record for touchdown passes, which is currently held by Peyton Manning, 55 touchdowns in 2013. He is just tearing apart fantasy leagues. What a barn burner they had on Monday Night Football this past a couple days ago. So if he hits 57 touchdowns, Heinz Ketchup, as part of their advertising, tweeted to promise Patrick Mahomes a lifetime supply of ketchup. I guess that's one way to piggyback on his success. It's kind of a cheap way of doing it, you know? There's a lot of, like, Taco Bell does that, right? Taco Bell will do, if someone hits a home run in the seventh inning, everyone gets free tacos tomorrow. I guess there's companies that do that sort of thing. They try to work in coordination with the league itself. So Heinz Ketchup, which has 57 varieties in its advertising, tweeted to promise Mahomes that if he hits that 57 touchdown marker, it's his. Pretty awesome. I don't know what he would do with a lifetime of ketchup. He says, if it happens, I get ketchup for life. I'll be sure to share it with some of the offensive linemen. What a nice gift. Normally, when you're the star quarterback and you give gifts to your offensive linemen, or let's say you're the starting pitcher, normally if you pitch a perfect game, you get a little gift for the catcher. That's just kind of proper etiquette. You don't give them ketchup. You find something a little bit better than ketchup, right? Just a little bit tiny, itsy bitsy better than ketchup. Here's another story I've been holding on to and I've been meaning to talk about. NBC News put this out. YouTube career or college. Teens are faced with the idea that, hey, let's skip the education route and let's just try to be an internet sensation. Ask any teen, hey, what do you want to be? What do you want to study? A lot of them may say, yeah, I want to be a YouTuber. Back when I was younger, there were some common answers like, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a veterinarian. I want to be the president of the United States. I want to work with my dad's business. I want to do this. I want to do that. But that never comes up anymore, right? It's always the glorified, I want to be known, I want to be famous. YouTube stars like PewDiePie, who has the most subscribers on the platform, makes a lot of money. They estimate how much money he's making here on NBC News. They say $12 million a year. But I don't even think they know who PewDiePie is. I think the person that wrote this article up just kind of like knows the idea that he's popular among YouTube celebrities, but he is not. They don't think they understand because they say he plays video games on YouTube, which is not what he does. I mean, he hasn't done that for the last couple of years, really. A recent survey by British firm First Choice revealed 34% of kids between the ages of 6 and 17 would like to be a YouTube personality when 1 in 5 wish to start their own channel. It's free to start a channel. You can entertain. And you hear a story like, oh, he's making $12 million a year doing that. Well, yeah, he also has the largest audience on the platform. And the advertising alone is unbelievable. He puts a video out a day. And I'll admit, I watch some of his videos. I like some of the things he puts out there. You know, he's funny. He actually handles some really complex topics. Something you would not expect. And I look at it, and he's very reasonable at his approach. But the impression that you get if you're a YouTuber is that, you know, you're out there doing Tide Pod challenges, and, you know, you'll hop on your bike, get hurt, post it, and see if people like to watch it or whatever. 96.5% of all of those trying to become YouTubers won't make more than $16,000 per year. If you wanted to commit all of your time to put videos online and build an audience, 96.5% won't even get up to $16,000. Now, you think to yourself, man, that'd be great. I'll post a couple videos online. I'll supplement my income with that extra $16,000. Oh, that would be awesome. It doesn't work like that. You have to dedicate yourself to doing this full time in order to make any money off of it. Because if you can't do it full time and you're not dedicating all of this extra time to it, then I'm sorry, you're not going to make anything off of it. There's all kinds of different people online. They say many teams have only dreamed of having as many followers of a PewDiePie, who I think is up to 70 million followers. And there are a lot of personalities that make a living off of YouTube. They find different ways, and people like to support their favorite personalities. If you're someone that is entertained by certain people online, you may think to yourself, yeah, you know what I would like to do? I would definitely like to make sure they can continue to make this type of content. So, you know, I'll give them $2 a month, $5 a month. Well, let's just say you start to get a pretty big following. Let's say you get, I don't know, let's say even 100 people, $5 each. So that's 500 times 12. You know, that's 6,000. Okay, it's pretty good. Now let's say you can get it to 1,000 people giving you $5 a month. You know, $12,000 a year. It's pretty good. It takes a while. Plus the revenue that you would get through the advertising and things. There are business models you can put together. There's one problem to this. 96.5 people fail on the platform. 96.5 people. Most people do it because recreationally it's just fun to be creative. It's fun to put those stories out on the internet. But I always have a connection with people that are YouTube phenomenon. There's also a lot of professional YouTubers that interview celebrities and they'll do big productions like Kevin Hart, for example. He did a YouTube series about working out and he had all kinds of different celebrities on there. You see the invasion of real television style entertainers, the ones that are, I guess, more traditional, taking over that platform, and it puts a damper on some of the other performers that are out there. But I don't know. It's going to be hard to navigate. Just 20 years ago, you never would have anticipated an internet celebrity as a career path that you'd have to try to convince your kid it's not a good one. But then on top of that, what about 20 years now in the future? Do you think there's still going to be kids looking to be internet personalities? I don't know. When my kid's in high school, I don't know what he's going to want to be. I have no idea. You know, he has a few times mentioned, I want to be on the radio with you at KMOX. He's told me that. I told him, you poor, poor child. Nah, not exactly, but it's kind of fun to hear the dreams, squashing them just like all the other teens out there that want to be internet phenomenon. You have to work so hard to get to that point. And even if you work hard, there's actually probably still a lot less chance that you'll still make enough money to be satisfied in the things you're doing. Another break coming up. I wanted to do this one more time. I put a little story together about the Loop Trolley. I'll explain next. Overnight America, KMOX. Can already taste that gravy. Just going to have to bring in a cup of gravy to drink when I get back in here to bring the old memories of Thanksgiving back. So I'll be off the next couple of nights. It's fun to spend this time with you, but I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to disconnecting. I really need it. It'll be fun. The show will be in great hands. I'm sure you'll enjoy. All right. Mike calling in for Brentwood. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Kind of have a dog story for you.
Oh, sure.
It was about 10 years ago. I was at work and I was feeling really, really bad. And so I told the girl I was working with, was at a restaurant. I said, I need to go home for a minute. And I went home and I took a few aspirins. My heart didn't feel well. And I came home and I laid down and I thought, man, this might be serious. And I dialed 911, but I didn't hit enter. And I laid down and I had this little dog. And, you know, about 30-pound dog.
Okay.
Anyway, and he jumped up on the bed and he started licking me. And he would do that all the time. But I would always push him away and say, leave me alone. And he'd always go away. So but this time, he would not quit licking me. He just like kept nudging me. And finally, I'm like, okay. And I hit enter on the 911 call.
Okay.
And sure enough, the ambulance came, and they said, if you would have went to sleep, you would have died.
Wow. There had been no chance. There had been no turning back at that point. You wouldn't have been able to wake up out of it.
None.
Wow.
At all. So that's just, like you say, like how they know. It's just kind of amazing.
Is this dog still alive?
He's not, unfortunately. But he lived a good life.
Little hero dog. What was his name?
His name was Wrinkles.
Wrinkles?
Wrinkles.
I like that. That's a good name for a dog, Wrinkles.
He was a cute little guy, you know. He was feisty, but he was like, nope, you're not going back to sleep.
I get it. Well, good. I'm glad you shared that story. Good for your little puppy dog. Do you have another dog now?
Hey, you know, I don't.
Well, you need one. You should get another dog. Go adopt a dog from a shelter.
Well, that's where I got him from.
Yeah, good.
And he was wonderful. So.
Awesome. Well, good.
But I can literally say, without doubt, you know, I think you saved my life.
You know, I could say that too.
There's no doubt about it. Because any other time, he would have just ran away, but he just would not leave me alone.
Good for that dog. All right, Mike, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Take care. Bye.
That's a cool story. Good old dogs. Gotta love these pups, man. What a great animal. Great, great animal. All right, I wanted to share this one other time. I thought, you know, I got a little bit of time. How about I write a little Christmas or not necessarily a Christmas, but a children's story. How about I write a story that tells a very important one here in St. Louis? And I was inspired by the little engine that could. You know, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Well, I took that story and thought, I might be able to rework this for the Loop Trolley. Gather around as I read this to you. Just like the Loop Trolley, I think I can, I think I can. This is the little trolley that could. I put a little children's theme music in the back to make it, you know, story time music. Let's give this a try. With all the issues we've had with the Loop Trolley, I figure we got to at least look at it in some way that is not me just crying about it. So, we'll give this a try. So here's my interpretation of the little trolley that could. The little Loop Trolley promised a special short track for the people to ride. She went along very well till federal money was about to be pulled. But then, no money, and no matter how hard she tried, they just couldn't make a deadline. She pulled past a lawsuit and she pulled past angry business owners. She fought and she fought, but she never backed off. But no, the trolley would not be stopped at any expense, even if it was way over budget. Surely we can find someone to help pay, she thought. This better work, this better work, this better work, this better work, this better work. Over the loop and up the track, the city council approved an extra $3 million. Ding, ding went the trolley. Off she went to hopefully ride by the spring of 2016. Pretty soon, she saw road closures, tore up intersections, very frustrated drivers. Running alongside the trolley, looked up and said, "Will you help me past this lawsuit? We are certainly not over any boundary limitations." And the judge looked down at the trolley saying, I'm not interested in resolving this thing. I'll just dismiss it this time and let you deal with the angry fellas. The little trolley was sorry, but went on. Ding, ding. Set to open summer of 2017. This better work. 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 Soon she came to a second big delay. Well past the deadline. Will you help me bring my trolley over the loop? It is so long and so expensive, I can't do it by myself. So the second round of begging began. The city council answered, "We have traveled a long, long run. Don't you see how tired we are? At this point, we've come this far. Can you just get someone else to pitch in an extra $500,000? So the little trolley took Clayco's money and off she went, set to open January of 2018. Ding, ding went the trolley. This better work, this better work, this better work, this better work, this better work. The little trolley started back to where the trains began, working on preparing for the long-awaited debut. 3 years ago, delays, obstacles, setbacks, this was going to be the day. Starting in August of 2018, slowly the trolley began to move. Slowly, they were able to test that two-mile track. I think I crack! Let's try that again. I think I crack. That was just a truck that time. I think I crack. Oh, who parked there? They were almost everywhere. Kind of. Very soon they cut the ribbon, but it still wasn't running over the loop as promised. And quietly parking out of sight with fear there would be more public outcry. Now it's November of 2018. So the trolley thanked the loop and its people who had come all this way. And she went merrily on her way, singing, "This better work, this better work. Oh, this better work." It's my, inspired by the little engine that could. It's the little trolley that could. Still yet to be seen if the trolley will be able to work. But all right, I wanted to, you know, I spent a half hour trying to adapt that little engine that could. I don't know if it was worth my time. It was fun giving it a try. Next hour, oh man, I think we're all ready for a break. Thanksgiving a few days away. I wanted to talk about the victim, the woman that has been identified as the person that was shot and killed as part of that Catholic Supply shooting. Just really, really terrifying stuff. The KMOX Christmas Character Challenge. Let's fill out a bracket together. I want to win the office pool. So I could use your help on that too. It's all coming up in the next hour. Have yourself a great Thanksgiving. Eat lots of turkey. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and I endorse turkey. Put some gravy over it.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.